with you. It was a treat to be here last Sunday, actually, when my son Tim was at the encouragement of your elders able to speak in the Sunday school hour. It's good to be back with you this evening. I've been reflecting on the numerous connections that the church I grew up in, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church I grew up in Pittsburgh, have had with this congregation. One of your first pastor in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Bob Atwell, moderated the meeting at which my father was called to be the pastor of the church in Pittsburgh. And I think some of you know the Spear and Ray connection. There's Spears and Rays from this congregation, and Clifford Ray was one of the elders when I was a little shaver. But as the congregation of Pittsburgh moved from the inner city, where there were lots and lots of churches at the time, out to a more suburban area called Wilkinsburg at the time. And while the house, while my parents' house was being built, my mother and father and my three of my older siblings, lived in a one-room attic room in the home of Clifford and Dorothy Ray, who are transplants from this congregation down in the Pittsburgh area. And they survived it, and their house was built, and the rest is history. But just thankful for the connections we've had, of course, with the congregation here, with Pastor Pugliotti, and good to get to know all of you. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to an Old Testament background passage in Leviticus chapter 13 on page 107 in your pew Bibles. That's page 107 in your pew Bible. And then we'll look for our primary passage in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 17, on page 1041. As we consider Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers, and kind of a, you might say, a transition message from Thanksgiving into the Christmas season, as we consider this evening 8 reasons for giving thanks. Leviticus 13, beginning with verse 1. Leviticus 13, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priest. The priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body, and if the hair in the infection has turned white, and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean." Then verse 6. "The priest shall look at him again on the seventh day, and if the infection has faded and the mark is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean." And then skipping to verses 45 and 46. "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." And then please turn with me to Luke chapter 17 on page 1041. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. "While he," that's Jesus, "was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men who were lepers, who stood at a distance, met him. And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. Thus far, God's holy word. Let's look to him together in prayer. Lord, this is your day, your resurrection day. We thank you that we can gather in the evening of this day to worship you. And Lord, now we pray that you, O Christ, would be lifted up before us. And that where Christ is lifted up, there your Holy Spirit would work to drive home the truth and glory of Jesus to our hearts, that we might respond with faith and thanks. We come to you praying this through the mediation of Jesus, the world's only Redeemer and Mediator. Amen. Leprosy is a contagious disease. In it, you develop ulcers that begin to bunch up, and you have a scaly-looking appearance. And that's why it's called leprosy. It comes from the Latin word lepus, which means scaly. And so these 10 men who were lepers, you could see that they were different. Their eyebrows would begin to be eaten away. Their fingers would begin to be eaten away. And it even affected their toes. You could see the difference. You could smell the difference from the ulcers. And you could also hear the difference. They would develop a raspy sort of a voice. And they, according to Old Testament law, had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so here are these 10 leprous men. They see Jesus. They've evidently heard about Jesus' healing of others. And they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus stops and he tells them, in accordance with Old Testament law, which was way ahead of the medicine of the day, which said with these infectious type diseases, you quarantine. You quarantine. So if you're quarantined and you think you're healed, you need to go to the priest. And Jesus says, no, you just go show yourself to the priest. And there, as these men are going to the priest, they're looking at their hands, they're feeling their eyebrows, and they are cleansed. They're cleansed. And as we consider this passage, we find at least 8 reasons here to give thanks to the Lord. First of all, we can be thankful that the Lord has come as the promised one. This account teaches us that the Lord has come as the promised one. John the Baptist, who had heralded the coming of the Lord Jesus, was sitting in jail because of King Herod. And he's beginning to doubt whether Jesus is really the promised Messiah. Is he really the Lord whom he had prepared the way for? And so he sends 2 of his disciples to speak to the Lord Jesus and ask him, are you the one that was promised to come, or should we look for somebody else? And they come to Jesus, and Jesus, in answering their question, he heals many. And then he says to John's disciples, you go back to John in prison, and you tell him that the blind see, that the lame walk, that lepers are cleansed, the poor have the good news preached to them. Yes, I am the one who fulfills the promises of the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Yes, I am the one who has come as Lord and Savior, and my healing proves it, that I am the King, the Savior, the Lord who has come. So as Jesus heals these lepers, he's again asserting that, yes, I am the promised Messiah. I am the promised Savior. And I have come to save the whole person, body and soul. We can also thank the Lord that He notices when you thank Him. Jesus notices this foreigner at His feet who thanks Him. He's on His way to the priest. He looks at Himself. He realized He's cleansed, He's healed, and He comes and He throws Himself down at the feet of Jesus. And He thanks Him. And He glorifies God. He glorifies God. Now, what does that mean, to glorify God? To glorify God means to put God's attributes, His character, on display. Here's Jesus. He's on His way to Jerusalem. And what's He going to do in Jerusalem? He's going to face slander, false accusations, spitting, humiliation, false judgment, and a murderous death. He's on His way to Jerusalem to die, and yet He stops to hear the cry of these 10 men crying out for mercy. Jesus stops in His mercy for outcasts like you and me. Jesus is compassionate. Jesus feels your need. Jesus is also powerful. He's able to do something for you in your need. But He's also omniscient. He knows all. He knows the remedy. He knows that He's the remedy for our deepest needs. And so, He sees our need. He sees Himself as the remedy. But He also sees your profuse thanks of Him. He saw this one leper's thanks and praise and an offering to Him glory and praise. Jesus not only knew how to heal and forgive and save, but He knows all your needs. And He knows your profuse thanks of Him. Jesus knows you. We can be thankful that out of all the people in the world, when you thank Him, He sees. Out of all the people, He saw that one Samaritan at His feet, bowing down and thanking Him. The Lord sees you when you offer Him heartfelt thanks. We can also be thankful that we're not saved by cleaning ourselves up, but simply by true faith. What does Jesus say? He says to this Samaritan, this foreigner, He says, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Was this man saved because he cleaned himself up? Because he'd improved himself? No. He was saved by faith, by looking away from himself to the mighty Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus, you are brought into personal connection with this God-man, with this Savior. Now, how did Jesus recognize that this man had true faith? How could He say to this man, "Your faith has saved you"? Well, he had cried out, hadn't he? "Jesus, have mercy on me." He had looked only to Jesus for help. But more than that, along with that cry for mercy, where does he go? He goes to Jesus to thank Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. And so his worship, his praise, his thanks is an evidence that he was not looking to himself for the remedy. He was not congratulating himself, but he was looking to Jesus alone. His worship, your thanks, your praise is an evidence of where your trust is. Jesus says to you, when you look to Jesus alone, and He looks to you when you thank Him, and when you praise Him, and when you flop down and give profuse thanks to Him, He says to you, "Your faith has saved you. And the verb there is an interesting verb. It means there's a past action. You have been saved and you are continuing in that condition of salvation. Your faith has brought you into connection to the Savior who saves, but then that Savior doesn't save you and drop you. Your faith has saved you. You continue as one who has been saved by looking to Jesus Christ alone. And so he says to you, your faith has saved you. By grace, we're saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is that empty hand which comes to the Lord bringing nothing and receiving everything by trusting in Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord that he also provides a place for all to be united at the feet of Jesus. You know, Dr. Luke makes a point to let us and all his readers know that this was a Samaritan, the one who came back. Now, Jesus was a Jewish man. He was an Israelite. All 12 of his disciples were Jewish people. And yet, Dr. Luke makes certain that we know that this man was a Samaritan. Now, Jews and Samaritans were not known to get along that well. When a Jew would pass by a Samaritan, despising him, he would spit on the ground. Jesus calls this Samaritan a foreigner. That's the same word that's used in Exodus 12 to describe the people outside of the covenant community. Not part of the people of God. And yet, it is this foreigner who comes and bows down with thanks at the feet of Jesus. You know, there was a sign on the temple grounds in Jesus' day. And that sign said on one of the walls of the perimeter, it said, "Any foreigner who goes inside beyond this wall in the temple area shall be responsible for his own death." And yet now Jesus welcomes this foreigner who's prostrate before him and giving him thanks. And that's the place where the Lord brings Jew and Samaritan together. That's where he brings Jew and Arab together. That's where he brings visitor and old-timer together. That's where he brings a strange relative and the other relative together. That's where he brings you and others together when you're humbled in thanks before the feet of Jesus. Thank the Lord that there's a place where we can be united together at the feet of Jesus. And thank the Lord that he points out our ingratitude so that we can repent of it. What does Jesus say? He says, weren't there 10 lepers? Wait a minute here. Where are the 9? He notices the one who came to give the Lord thanks. He expected the thanks, but he also notices the 9 who didn't come back. The Lord notices our ingratitude so that we can repent of it. It was a father who was gathered with his family at the breakfast table. And he offers a prayer of thanks before they eat. He thanks the Lord for the coffee and for the eggs and the bacon. And thanks the Lord for the hands of his wife that prepared it. And then says the amen and begins eating. And then he begins to complain that the coffee had too much sugar in it and not enough cream, and that the eggs were a little bit watery today, and that the bacon, you know, is a little too crispy. And his daughter looked up at him and piped up and said, "Daddy, do you think the Lord heard you when you thanked the Lord for the breakfast this morning and for all of us?" "Oh yeah, I think he heard me when I thanked him." And "Daddy, do you think the Lord heard you when you were complaining about the coffee and the eggs and the bacon?" "Well, yeah, I guess he did. Well, Daddy, which do you think the Lord believed? Which did the Lord believe? Too often, we can be like the 9 lepers, very loud and asking the Lord for help. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I'm stuck here. Lord, I need your help. And then forget to thank Him for what He provides. Have you noticed the decreased emphasis in giving the Lord thanks? You know, seems like there's more and more Halloween decorations every year, and people almost skip over Thanksgiving, or if it's Thanksgiving, it's not thanks to the Lord, it's something else, and then they quickly move on to Santa Claus and Christmas. There seems like there's less thanks to the Lord. Now, why is that? Well, if you deny that God created you and that you depend on God for everything, who is there to thank? We're just, they would say, random cells colliding against each other. So if we're just random cells bumping against each other by chance, who is there to thank for life and breath, for everything? Paul M. Sutter identifies himself as a theoretical cosmologist, writing recently in the New York Times. He wants us to know that, quote, "The universe is mostly empty, meaningless void, and while we have found many wonders in these great expanses, yet by strict accounting of cosmic abundances, our planet and the life we find here amount to essentially zero, insignificant," end quote. Now, Mr. Sutter is a liar. He's trying to find significance by his PhDs and all his teaching engagements and by the fact that he writes something in the New York Times. He's wanting significance for himself. He wants to get praise for himself. But he gives no thanks to the God who made him in His image so that he can speak with words and write with words, because God is a God who has spoken and who thinks in language and communicates in language. So we're to look at the compassion, the power, and love of the Lord Jesus and say, what a weird, wonderful, insignificant zero. And we're supposed to look into the face of a baby and say, what a weird but kind of wonderful accident. But since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power, His wisdom, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what He has made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We can be thankful that the Lord points out our ingratitude so we can confess it. We can repent of it. And thank the Lord that He's able to transform us ungrateful people into new creatures who do praise Him, who do thank Him. You know, our hearts by nature are like the 9 lepers. Our hearts by nature are not thankful. We think that God owes us. We think that others should treat us better than they do. And we forget the source of all the mercies we enjoy. But then the Holy Spirit comes and He opens our eyes, doesn't He? And He shows us our sin. He shows us our ingratitude. He shows that we haven't turned back to give the Lord praise like we ought. Yet God, though we don't thank Him as we ought, yet God has given us sunshine and rain and air and lungs to breathe the air. He's given us food and family. He's given us patient teachers. patient professors, patient parents.
Lord,
we say, Lord, you've treated me far better than I deserve. I am the one that is full of the leprosy of sin from the sole of my feet to the top of my head. There is nothing clean in me but raw wounds.
Lord,
I am the one who is unclean. I am unclean.
Lord,
Lord, have mercy upon me, we cry. And when you do that, when you see your uncleanness and you cry out to the Lord for mercy, though you came to worship this evening thinking you have no life and no future, when you cry out to the Lord for mercy and acknowledge your own uncleanness, the Lord Jesus takes your contamination. He takes the leprosy of sin upon Himself on the cross. And the Father says to His Son at the cross, "You are unclean. You are unclean. You suffer outside the camp. You are quarantined." Because He has taken our sin upon Himself, and then the Lord turns to you and says, "Forgiven. Loved. Accepted. You can come near. There's no separation between me and you. You have been brought near by my blood." And so the Lord says to you, "Go. Your faith has saved you. Go. You've confided in me. You've acknowledged your sin. You've trusted in me. And I have been considered the one condemned in your place. Go. There is no condemnation for those who are in me, Christ Jesus." You know, that's what the Lord did to change President Abraham Lincoln into a thankful man. He wrote to a friend saying, "When I left Springfield and arrived in Washington, I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But I went to Gettysburg and I saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers. I then and there consecrated myself to Christ. Yes, I do love Jesus." That was July of 1863. And 2 months later, in September of 1863, a grateful Lincoln who had been changed by God, it wrote to encourage us all to give the Lord thanks. And so he wrote this: "The year has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. We are prone to forget the source from which they come. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, or sufferers, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with His divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union." Thank the Lord that He is able to transform our ungrateful hearts and change them into those that thank Him. "Lord, now indeed I find Your power and Yours alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow." And you thank Him. And we learn from this passage to thank the Lord for trials. Do you think that this leper would ever have come to Jesus? Would he have ever met Jesus if he hadn't been a leper? Do you think he would ever have felt his need to cry out for mercy from Jesus if he hadn't come to the end of himself? Would you have ever seen your need for Jesus if there had not been some time when you saw that, yes, I need him in the face of this need, this trial? Young people, Fanny Crosby, when she was 6 weeks old, was blind, became blind. The doctor gave her some poison on her eyes instead of a remedy, and from 6 weeks on, she was blind. Now, she could have been full of self-pity. She could have been full of bitterness for that difficulty. On top of that, she lost her dad when she was young, and she was raised by her mom and her grandma. And here she loses her sight, doesn't know what it's like to see things after 6 weeks old. She could have been bitter. But she said, "I thank the Lord for His plan for my life. I could not have written thousands of hymns if I'd been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." She wrote 9,000 hymns. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. To God be the glory, great things He has done." And when she was 8 years old, she wrote her first poem. "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot. No, I won't." By God's grace, we bow at the feet of Jesus and we thank Him for the pains, the troubles, the trials that we couldn't handle ourselves, that showed us we needed to trust Him. That drove us to cry out to Him for mercy. That drew us to throw ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "There is my hiding place." Finally, we thank the Lord that the healing that King Jesus began on earth will be completed when He comes again and takes us to heaven and defeats His final enemies, all those physical and spiritual sores that bring tears and death. His invasion of healing, not only the souls and removing the guilt of that leper, but His power, the invasion of the King to bring His kingdom and heal His body, was a foretaste of His conquering in His second coming. I don't know if you remember the days when missionaries like Bruce Hunt would come with their missionary slides. And then Ralph English came to the church in Pittsburgh, and instead of slides, young people, he had a movie. And he showed a movie of his ministry at a leper colony. And there was this, you know, I was just a young little lad. I still remember that there was this man, a leper, he only had stubs as arms and his legs stopped at his knees. And there he was in the middle of the worship service, rocking back and forth, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And missionary Ralph English said, "He's praising the Lord because Jesus came to save his body and his soul. And he belongs to the risen Jesus. Jesus not only went to the cross for him, but Jesus rose again for him." And that's the Lord whom you serve. He came as the conqueror of guilt at the cross. He came as the conqueror of death in his cross and resurrection. As in Adam all die, even so all in Christ shall be made alive. By faith you're united to Jesus in his death. But by faith you're united to Jesus in his resurrection. And Jesus didn't just rise in his soul. He rose with a new transformed body. He came to heal both body and soul. He came to take you and all who trust in him to heaven, to the new heavens, to the new earth. He is the first fruits of those who have been raised from the dead. And after that, those who are Christ will rise with him at his coming. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us show thanks, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Let's pray. O Lord in heaven, we praise you for your glorious compassion, your glorious power, your glorious mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you humbled yourself to the point of death, even death on a cross, and that now you have been raised from the dead to receive glory and honor and thanks. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather this night to praise you. We thank you that you are the fulfillment of the promises. And we thank you, Lord, that you are full of mercy today, tonight, for us. And that you accept our thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for fellowship with your people. Thank you, Lord, in heaven, for the word of God that is preached faithfully from this pulpit. Thank you, Lord, in heaven, for fellowship in Jesus, united together at his feet. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.